Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way 9 months 2019 results analyst conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development and IR of Rai Way. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our 9 months 2019 results call. As usual, I'm here with Aldo, CEO, and Adalberto, CFO of the company. Let me remind you, just before moving to our presentation, that as you already know, starting from this year, we are adopting the new IFRS 16 accounting standard, which impacts some of the KPI we usually share with you. Therefore, for purposes of comparison and in order to provide a better representation of the company's performance, we are presenting the 9-month 2018 economic figures also on a pro forma basis, meaning restated to simulate the impact of the above-mentioned accounting standard. Consequently, the year-on-year changes are calculated accordingly on a like-for-like basis. Let me now hand the call over to Aldo. Please, Aldo, go ahead.
Thank you, Giancarlo. Good afternoon, and let me thank you to everyone for joining us today. I would like to start sharing with you the main highlights for the of the period, while Adalberto will run you through the details of our financial performance. At the end, as usual, we will have a Q&A session. So the third quarter 2019 has been marked again as by solid financial performances in line with our expectations. The top line benefited from new services to Rai, progressively growing quarter after quarter, and non-MNO customers' activities have been confirmed at a sound level. We will go more in details on our financials in a while, but let me just point out the further rise in profitability, with EBITDA margins exceeding 60% and net income up 5.6%. On the industrial side, most of the reforming process milestones set by the 2019 budget law have now been completed, with transmission capacity awarded to network operators during last summer through the conversion of the current right of use of frequencies, moving from 20 dBt to 10 dBt to national multiplexes, applying the ratio 0.5. In particular, Rai has been granted 2 multiplexes, including the macro regionalized one, plus extra capacity equivalent to half multiplex, pending the outcome of the auction of the remaining 2 multiplexes, or alternatively some form of agreement among operators that will fix the final network configuration. The auction, originally expected by November 2019, might be slightly delayed, possibly in the first quarter 2020, anyway keeping the final switching off deadline as programmed for June 2022. As of now, we confirm the scenario with Rai Way managing 3 multiplexes for Rai as our base case. As you know, we have been working with Rai in order to align the current contract with the post-refarming configuration. The negotiations are taking slightly longer than the originally assumed, but as you may imagine, the refarming, along with the coverage obligation arising the Rai State concession, is a process which materially affects network configuration, both in the transitory period, bringing a relevant amount of activities to be carried out, and once completed, requiring operations that, at least in some aspects, will be even more complex, considering first the broader coverage. And secondly, that the broad range of activity we perform to collect and deliver signals has only partial correlation with the pure number of multiplexes. So, as said, the negotiation with RAI are progressing well. The fact that the outcome of the regulatory steps so far is in line with expectation is helping us, and we are working hard with RAI to reach a positive agreement in the weeks to come within the end of the current year. Then, as mentioned during the presentation of the first half 2019 financial results, once the agreement with RAI and the farming is achieved, the release of our new industrial plan will follow right after, bearing in mind that current one covers the period till the end of this year, of the current year. So this is a priority for us, also in order to restore the high level of predictability that since the IPO has been one of our pillars, of the pillars of our company. In the meantime, we are not standing still. Indeed, on top and in parallel to the activity on the farming, we are working on all the lines that will be incorporated in the new plan, so evaluating new initiatives to strengthen our core business and reassessing potential opportunities for growth, diversification, and efficiency. For the time being, focusing on 2019, in light of the above mentioned performances and the additional details that we will provide soon, we can confirm the full year guidance set back in March. Let's dive deeper into our 9 months 2019 performance, moving to slide number five. Here on the slide, you can see for adjusted EBITDA, net income, and cash conversion, the restated 2018 figures that simulate the impact of IFRS 16 on last year's performance. About core revenues, the revenues which are not, as you know, affected by IFRS 16, totaled 165.7 million euros, so 1.5% higher than the first 9 months of the last year. But if you exclude from the comparison the una tantum components that positively impacted the 2018 figure, the year-on-year increase could have approached 2%. The top line has been driven by, let me say, two issues. One, contribution of CPI and progressive growth of new services on the right side, while on the third party side, radio and TV broadcaster and fixed wireless providers and corporate segments offset the pressure coming from the MNO mobile operators. Then the adjusted EBITDA reached 100.6 million euros, around 3% up compared to the same period of 2018, resulting in an additional growth in profitability, which exceeded 60% after IFRS 16 and 90 basis points above the pro forma first 9 months 2018 figures. Again, our effort on OPEX optimization is continuing to bear fruit on top of the efficiencies already achieved in recent years. So on the bottom line, the net income increased by 5.6% at 49.7 million euros. On the financial side, CapEx in the first 9 months amounted to 12.7 million euros, so broadly in line with last year's level. and as already seen in the first semester, confirming a more favorable mix compared to 2018, with a higher portion related to development CapEx, mainly driven by the preparatory activities for refarming. As of September 30, we recorded a net financial position of 34.7 million euros, resulting from the strong cash generation of the period and the dividend payment of almost 60 million euros. It's worth mentioning that excluding the impact of IFRS 16 of approximately 50 million euros, we would have reported a positive net cash position of around 13.5 million euros. In conclusion, cash conversion remains strong at 93%. Now I will leave the floor to Adalberto to provide you with details on the main items of our results. Please, Adalberto, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Aldo. Good afternoon to everyone. As anticipated by our CEO, Rai Way delivered a good set of results in the first nine months of this year, so confirming the positive trends that we saw in the first half and broadly matching the expectations. If we look at slide six of our presentation, let's start with the top line. Core revenues were 1.5% higher at 165.7 million euro, with both Rai and third parties growing vis-à-vis the same period of last year. In particular, if we look at the chart on the left, Rai revenues from the fixed consideration amounted 135.3 million euro on the back of the 1.4% Italian CPI growth. You can see for this purpose the blue component of the chart on the left of the slide. While the new services from Rai were still impacted, as also Aldo mentioned, by the Una Tantum related to the MUX coverage extension project recorded in June 2018. Excluding these and other Una Tantum components, revenues from new services were up 20%, boosted by the release of radio links frequencies and the DAB+ network expansion, as already highlighted in the first half. Revenues from third parties reached 25.2 million euro, up 1.6% vis-à-vis the previous year values, also thanks to the impact of non-core items. If we strip out these components, the performance would be basically aligned with the first nine months of 2018. To be precise, the growth would be 0.2%. That is something positive if you consider that we offset the decreasing trend of the MNO's revenues through the rising activities with other third parties customers, including transmission services, TV and radio broadcasting, fixed wireless access player, and corporate customers. If we compare the third quarter figures with the increase recorded in the first half, the slightly softer performance is related to a milder growth on non-MNO customers. That is, by the way, due just to comparison effect, considering that the contract uptake started in the third quarter of 2018. In any case, they keep growing. Let's now move to slide number seven. On the OpEx, it's worth recalling that following to the adoption of the new IFRS 16 accounting standard from the beginning of this year, we are here showing the 2018 figures on a pro forma basis. As you can see, we calculated the IFRS 16 positive impact on the first nine months 2018 adjusted EBITDA in some 7 million euro due to rents no longer accounted for as OpEx. If you compare the 2018 pro forma figures with the 9-month 2019 figures, the overall cost base declined by 0.6%, reaching the 65.2 million euro. Let's focus on personnel cost that decreased by 0.4%, but if you exclude the capitalized component, they grew by 2%, following the same drivers commented for the first semester. And so the new hirings following the early retirement plan we implemented over the past years, and second, the impact of the new collective agreement. Then, other OPEX, they stood at 32.5 million euro, resulting a decrease of 0.7% of the pro forma figures related to saving on intercompany and local taxes that have more than offset higher maintenance and energy cost. Please consider that Q4 2018 other OPEX figures already start to reflect our, let's say, the majority of the impact of our efficiency initiatives. So in Q4 2019, the comparison will be tougher, and we expect that to offset the decrease recorded in the first 9 months, mainly due to higher energy costs, not depending, of course, on the level of our consumption that is broadly stable. Let's now move to the following slide, slide 8 on the profit and loss. As you can see, the higher revenues and the continuous effort on cost control led to an adjusted EBITDA of 100.6 million euro, meaning a growth of 2.9% vis-à-vis the previous year figures. The margin on the adjusted EBITDA exceeded 60%, up by 90 basis points compared to the same period of 2018. The lower impact of one-off expenses in 2019 prompted EBITDA growth to 3.3%. While D&A went down to 30.1 million euro, benefiting from release of provision for risk and charge per approximately 1.6 million euro. Proceeding with the bottom line, financial interest was 1 million euro, net financial interest was 1 million euro, 40% down compared to 2018 figures as a result of the early repayment of the term loan we finalized last year. On the fiscal side, the overall tax rate confirmed the benefit from the positive one-off impact of the first tax recorded in the first half, and the resulting net income is 49.7 million. 5.6% higher than 2018 figures, as Aldo already commented in the first slide describing our financials. Moving now to the overall, let's move now to slide 9 on the cash flow generation. As you can see on the left of the slide, starting from 16.6 million euro of net cash position at the end of 2018, we had 49.4 million euro of impact due to the new leasing liabilities related to the application of the famous IFRS 16. Apart from the EBITDA, another major contributor is the payment of the dividends for almost 60 million euro. All this led to approximately 35 million euro of net debt at the end of the period. That includes more or less 48 million euro, to be precise, 48.2 million euro of leasing liabilities. So this means that we closed the first 9 months with positive cash for approximately 14 million euro, as a result of a strong pre-dividend cash generation of approximately 58 million euro. Last slide from my side, slide 10 on the balance sheet. At the end of September, net invested capital was 205 million euro, including 42.3 million euro of right-of-use for leasing related to the IFRS 16. The equity book value amounted 170.3 million euro, with 34.7 million euro of net debt, as we commented in the previous slide. Thank you. Aldo, please, if you.
Thank you. Thank you to Adalberto. Just to tighten it up, let me just confirm our guidance for the full year, made of further improvement of the adjusted EBITDA and maintenance CapEx on core revenues substantially in line with 2018, bringing the last five-year average level at approximately 8%. We will now welcome your question. We can start the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Fabio Pavan with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, and thank you for taking my two questions. The first one is, please, follow up on your statement on the refarming process and the industrial plan. Could you recap just the timetable for us? Thank you very much. The second question refers to the trend we have seen in this 2019 so far. In particular, I was surprised about revenues from third parties when excluding MNO. This trend was expected by yourself. Is this slightly exceeding your expectation, and what we can maybe how confident are you that this trend may follow also in the upcoming years? Clearly, there will be new plan, but just to have some headline to discuss. Thank you.
Let me start, if I may, Fabio, with your last question on the third party's revenue. Let me start, probably it will be helpful to recall that two very different trends we are seeing on our activity with third parties. As you know, the pressure from our MNOs offset by a high single-digit growth with non-MNO customer. In particular, as I commented before, TV and radio broadcaster, corporate customers, fixed wireless access player on the other side. Looking ahead, the headwind from our MNO customers has probably not yet bottomed out, and we expect further decline before new opportunities like 5G deployment start to contribute. Keep also in mind that in the third quarter 2019, we have benefit from some slippage of site decommissionings that are now expecting to be decommissioned in the next months. On the non-MNO customers, we continue to see room for expansion, also thanks to the proactive commercial approach we have adopted in the last years. Although the comparison will be tougher considering the strong growth already achieved as of today.
About your first question or your second question is about the refarming process and the state of negotiation with RAI. As said, negotiation with RAI are progressing well. We are not seeing, as of today, particular specific criticalities apart from the time required to regulate all the terms and conditions. In any case, our aim is to reach an agreement, a positive agreement in the weeks to come and within the end of the of the current year. The second part of your question, Fabio, is about our industrial and the timeline for our new industrial plan. As I mentioned before during my presentation, once the agreement we drive on the refarming is achieved, the release of our new industrial plan will follow, let me say, right after. So this is a priority for us, also because we feel that this sort of, let me say, reduced visibility has penalized our stock, so, and we want to restore the high level of predictability that since the IPO has been one of our pillars. So, but we are not, as I said before, we are not standing still, and on top and in parallel to the activity on the refarming, we are working on all the line, addressing all the lines of that we will be incorporated in our new plan. So evaluating, let me see, new initiatives to strengthen our car business, reassessing this. The reassessment is something that we do on a recurring basis, but reassessing potential opportunities for growth and diversification and about efficiency, you know, looking for ways to improve efficiency, in particular thanks to our digital transformation process.
Okay, thank you so much. Extremely clear.
The next question is from Stefano Gamberini with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Two quick questions, if I may. The first, I didn't catch if in this renegotiation with the RAI, you should have also the new contract and what could be the length of the contract that you can obtain. The second is regarding a possible deal with Eight Towers that we have call we ask you, do you think that after this agreement with RAI, the conditions for a possible consolidation in the sector could be there, or what are the other requirements that you think are needed for a possible consolidation in the sector? Many thanks.
About the renegotiation of RAI, I would not call it a real renegotiation. The service contract with RAI started the 1st July 2014 and has a duration, as you know, 7 plus 7 plus 7 years. So the first expiration date of the contract will be June 2021 and then 2028. So it's fair to say that we are going to regulate the impact from the refarming process within the framework of the existing contract rather than signing a new contract. And then with your second question is about the connection between the renegotiation process and the consolidation. This is what we can say, that is, as you know, the consolidation of broadcasting infrastructure faces some constraints that are legislative and regulatory to be managed, so it's not directly impacted the new contract with RAI for the refarming process.
Just a quick follow-up, if I may. So, if I understood correctly, the new contract, the agreement on refarming, where we should see an increase of the base contract, or the additional revenue will be included in the new services? What is my target is to understand if the new revenues that will arrive are recurring forever, or are we working more on new services, so an increase of revenues that will disappear sooner or later?
We will show more disclosure as soon as possible, hopefully in the next weeks. But consider that normally we, since we will have a different configuration of our network, we will have a different recurring fixed consideration, generally speaking. Then more details will be disclosed at the proper moment.
Many thanks.
The next question is from Giorgio Tavolini with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. Just a brief follow-up on the maintenance capex level. You have 8.5% in full year 2019, while you had a 4% capex to sale ratio in 9 months. So it's fair to expect really a back-end loaded trend in Q4, something in the region of 20% of core revenues. And the second is on cost-cutting. It's reasonable to expect a lower cost optimization in Q4, given the tough comparison you were mentioning before, and energy prices and whatever. Thank you.
Hi. On the cost, we expect in the last quarter to offset, as I mentioned, the benefit, even if we're talking about 0.2 million euro, recorded in the first 9 months, basically because, as I said, some synergies give already the positive impact on the Q4 2018 figures, and on top of this, we have higher energy costs. And this is something that not depending from our control, let me put it in this way, and we will have this this impact that is going to record, we expect to record higher energy cost on the last quarter 2019 vis-a-vis the last quarter 2018. So, as concern, this is your, in order to try to address the question on the OPEX, and then on the CAPEX, on the maintenance CAPEX, yes, basically we confirm the guidance of approximately 8.5%, 8% of core revenue. So we expect, considering the lower level, if we look at the maintenance capex to core revenues in the first 9 months, we expect higher percentage in the last quarter, resulting in a capex level coherent with our yearly guidance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, many thanks to all of you for joining our call, and speak soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.